Again, I'm Brian Smedley. I'm research director and co-founder of a new communications research and policy organization called the Opportunity Agenda. What we do is to provide a range of tools to partners who are working to create health equity at state and federal levels. And so that's obviously part of what we're here to talk about today, is to see a clip from the new series, Unnatural Causes. It'll be about 30 minutes. And then we're going to have a panel discussion from a very distinguished panel to talk about how do we move forward? How do we identify policies and structures, ways of addressing the fundamental social and economic determinants that are behind the inequality in health that we're going to talk about today? I want to start by just thanking the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies. Carla Gallott from the Joint Center is here somewhere, and I think some other Joint Center staffers. The Joint Center has done a tremendous amount of work, not only to make this session happen, but also to help with this series, and maybe even more importantly, with the effort to address the issues and the campaign that's going to be mounted after this series. I think many of you are aware that this is not just a documentary series to describe a problem. We're about trying to identify solutions and finding ways to move forward to address the social and economic issues that are behind inequality in health. This 7-part series is going to be shown on PBS in the spring, and the dates we'll describe shortly. I also want to just make mention that originally Dr. Gail Christopher, formerly of the Joint Center and currently with the Kellogg Foundation, was originally scheduled to be the moderator. Gail got called into a meeting, a very important meeting at Kellogg, so I am here in her stead, but certainly big shoes to fill, but Dr. Christopher is sorely missed, but we will not lack her leadership as we move forward to address the issues in the film. As I mentioned, this is a 7-part series. It'll air beginning in late March, and there will be a DVD release accompanying it, plus a website and other tools and resources for advocates, public health professionals, policymakers, and others, again, to move the ball forward so that we're not just describing a problem, but we're being active in addressing the issues. And the basic goal is to reframe the nation's debate over health and what we as a society can and should do to tackle health inequality. We're really talking about a paradigm shift, as all of you know, that health depends more on than what we do in terms of our health care. It's more than just our individual behavior and personal responsibility. It's the circumstances, the conditions in which we live. We're going to see a clip from episode 1, which is tentatively entitled In Sickness and in Wealth. And I should point out that this is still a work in progress, this clip. There'll be some additional editing, some additional narration, other work. But what you're going to see is essentially a sample of what this 7-part series is going to be. And this first episode lays out the big picture, that health and longevity are correlated with class and social status, that racism imposes an additional risk burden on top of the risks of class status, and that the solutions lie in making this an urgent public health matter. This is far more important than immunization, than safe drinking water, and all the other issues that public health is traditionally associated with. Another episode is called Place Matters, and it's a story of two neighborhoods. It's about built space, living environments, and how our individual choices are constrained by those environments. Episode in the series is called Not Just a Paycheck. It's about unemployment, job insecurity and health, and policies that make a difference. A third episode is called When the Bow Breaks. This is about birth outcomes and the persistence of poor birth outcomes among some populations, particularly African Americans. And it talks importantly about new evidence about the additional burden of chronic stress associated with racism over the life course and the importance of addressing women's health over the life course and long before the period of reproductive health. Collateral Damage is another episode in this series looking at the Marshall Islands and Pacific Islanders in that area. And it looks at the impact of globalization and uneven development and military policy on these communities. Bad Sugar, another episode in this series, focuses on Native American communities and the role of poverty, oppression, and futurelessness as risk factors for poor health and diabetes in particular. Becoming American, another important topic in this series, about the so-called Latino health paradox, that new Latino immigrants are healthier than Americans of comparable socioeconomic status, and that the longer that they live here, the worse their relative health becomes. So the DVD will be released in March 2008. The website will be up approximately a month before the DVD release. And the first PBS broadcast, which I think we're all looking forward to with great anticipation, is March 27th. Check your local listings. The first episode is In Sickness and in Wealth, and we're going to see the first 30 minutes of this cut. It's a work-in-progress clip, as I mentioned. It's still being written and edited, and so the music, narration, and sound are all temporary. So we're going to go ahead and show that clip. agree. That was very, very powerful. Can I just have Larry Edelman and Rachel Pullian stand up and wave your hand? I want you folks to know who was responsible for creating this. So Larry and Rachel are over here in the corner of the room. Let's give them a big round of applause. Great. Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much. Okay. Let me ask our panelists to come forward. And as our panelists come forward, let me just add a bit more about episode one. What you saw was essentially a description of the problem. This is really beginning to set up a discussion for how we address inequality in health. So episode one will continue with information about how inequality gets under the skin, the added risk burden of racism, and a discussion about policies that can make a difference. So again, importantly, this is not just about describing the problem, but about talking about how we can move forward to address solutions. Okay, we're going to get underway with our really terrific panel here. I'm going to introduce each of the speakers, and then we'll get right into the questions. There is one change. Congressman Mike Honda was not able to make it because of votes. Those of us who live and work here in Washington understand the importance and precedence that that takes. So we're very, very fortunate to have at my far, far right Bernadette Arellano, who is Congressman Honda's legislative assistant for health. She handles much of the labor HHS, sorry, no acronyms, labor, health, and human services, and education appropriations, making her a very important person to know in this town. So Bernadette Arellano to our far right. To her, to my far left, I'm sorry. To her right is Baker Salisbury. He is director of health for the Ledgelight Health District of Connecticut, which provides comprehensive public health services to improve the quality of life and health in a service area of over 120,000 people living in southeastern Connecticut. He's formerly director of the East Hartford Department of Health and Social Services, and he brings a wealth of experience tackling health disparities at state and local levels. He's also a former president of the Connecticut Association of Directors of Health. To his right is someone that you saw in the film and probably needs no introduction to many of you, Dr. David Williams, who is the Florence and Laura Norman Professor of Public Health and Professor of African and African-American Studies and Sociology at the Harvard School of Public Health. He's internationally known for his research in the relationship between socioeconomic status, experiences of discrimination, and resulting health effects. He has examined the extent to which psychosocial factors ranging from stress, racism, social support, psychological resources, and health behaviors are linked to health and social status. He serves on numerous editorial and scientific review panels and is the recipient of numerous awards and distinctions. I know him best because he's a member of the Institute of Medicine and importantly served on a couple of Institute of Medicine reports, unequal treatment, and contributed a chapter to promoting health, for which we are eternally grateful. Let me see if I can embarrass someone else who might be in the audience. Is Dr. Ottawelli Troutman in the audience? Dr. Troutman, would you join us on this panel? I hate to ask you at the last second, but because you were on the clip. How's that for a stress response? You come to view a clip, and then you're asked to join a panel. But I wanted to have Dr. Troutman join us because, as you saw, the issues that he discusses in this series are critically important in terms of the importance of place and how place matters. And as you can see from the film, he's director of health in the Metro Louisville region, and hopefully our next APHA president. No endorsement there. Let's get right into it, because we have a lot to discuss. What we want to do is I'm going to direct questions for the next 30-35 minutes or so, and then I'm going to open it up so that we can all have our questions asked. Let me start with this. It's clear that we're talking about a range of social and economic policy issues, and that our task is to address these fundamental causes of inequality. In one of the subsequent episodes that you'll all see later, Dr. Williams says that housing policy is health policy, educational policy is health policy, anti-violence policy is health policy, neighborhood improvement policies are health policies. Everything that we can do to improve the quality of life of individuals in our society has an impact on their health and is health policy. So let me start with you, Dr. Williams. How do we begin to move the discussion forward? We know that there's a huge disconnect between the state of the science and the state of our policies, because currently our policies treat health disparities as if they're restricted to the healthcare domain. How do we begin to move this discussion forward?
Thanks, Brian. I think we certainly need to begin by raising awareness levels. The very striking data presented in the film series that we just saw, the first episode of, most Americans are unaware of it. They're unaware that there's no social cause of health, and to the extent that people don't recognize the problem, there's no need to mobilize to address it. So that's the first issue, is raising awareness levels that these inequalities exist, and then also for educational initiatives to help people to understand concretely, as I think this series does in its totality, what the drivers of these inequalities are. We have been doing work for the Rockefeller-Johnson Commission, which we talked about yesterday, where Americans have very resolutely see as the underlying causes of health personal responsibility and medical care. And we really have to broaden the picture so that we can move upstream, so that individuals can identify and understand these upstream factors that address health. And then we need to break out of the silos in which we currently exist, and I think silos in terms of how health is organized in this country, but silos about how policy is done, so that we can see the connections across different domains and different departments of the government and at the federal and state and local levels, so that we can see that all of these things are affecting health. So I think all of those are strategies that we need to begin. And certainly, we need to point to success stories. People need to see on the ground initiatives that have made a difference in the lives of individuals and the health of individuals by intervening in an upstream, at an upstream level.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Williams. And so, Bernadette, let me address the next question to you. From the perspective of Congress, again, as Dr. Williams pointed out, there's a lack of awareness among the general public that we're talking about factors that are largely outside of the healthcare arena. How do we begin to move members of Congress? You know, your boss is one of the few who understands that social and economic inequality are root drivers, and we're going to talk shortly about some of the mechanisms behind that. But how do we get Congress to begin to understand that we've got to address this kind of inequality, that inequality is not good, and in fact is very, very harmful, not just to individuals, but to society as large? What are ways, how can we address that in Congress?
I'm sorry.
Sure, and I think that you'd also agree that all of us have a role and a responsibility to help educate members of Congress as well. We were on a panel last week where you made the case that we all, as public health professionals and as scholars, folks on the ground delivering public health programs, have to inform our elected representatives of the role of these social and economic mechanisms that help drive inequality.
Right.
Now turn to Dr. Troutman, because I want to talk about mechanisms. What are the structural mechanisms that make this kind of inequality persist? Obviously, in the segment that we just saw, place, the lens of geography became very important as a way to talk about inequality, and this is also something that Dr. Williams has written about. But from your perspective, Dr. Troutman, what are some of the mechanisms that we need to begin to discuss with our elected leaders and others to begin to shift the policy discussion?
I wish you all hope, but unfortunately that's not the way it is. I think that our policy makers, our politicians, our community activists, everyone needs to begin to change the way that we think about this issue. And it's not just the policy makers, let's make me clear about it. It's all of us. We just did a study in Louisville where testing this based
ask you for more specifics about how a local health department addresses those upstream determinants shortly. But let me turn to Baker Salisbury. You've been working in Connecticut with a local public health department. You've been in a statewide leader. In your estimation, are state and local health departments, do they get it? Are they behind the notion of addressing these upstream determinants? And assuming that your answer is no, how do we then... Sorry to set you up. if the answer is no, how do we then go about mobilizing and getting these state and local public health departments to address these issues?
Well, I think it's a critical, absolutely critical question, because I personally believe that state and particularly local health departments, since this is a public health department, are poised to play a small but crucial role in helping us avert a possible revolution in this country in 50 years from now. And we must work.
And staying with you, Baker, how will we know when we've gotten there? And in particular, I'm asking for your help in describing the health equity index that you've developed. How do we know when public health departments have achieved the kinds of standards and work? How will we measure our progress in this area?
Joint Center.
That's great. Thank you very much, Baker. Let me now turn to some specifics in terms of how we get there. One of the things I'm struck by, Baker, is that many of the determinants that you mentioned also correlate powerfully with residential segregation. So, Dr. Williams, this is an issue that you've written about, that residential segregation, in many instances, is a fundamental driver behind inequality that we see along many of these dimensions. So at a very practical level, how do we as public health professionals and policy people deal with the problem of residential segregation? Is it intractable, and do we have to find ways to ameliorate its effects, or do we need, as Baker alluded to, a fundamental revolution to address this problem?
There's nothing inherently wrong or health damaging by living with someone of the same racial group as you are. So there's nothing inherent about residential segregation that is problematic. What is problematic is the concentration of poverty and the absence of an infrastructure of opportunity for individuals in residential segregated contexts. And one of the striking things is that America, African Americans, are more segregated in the year 2000 census than any other immigrant group has ever been in the history of this country. And the levels of segregation in America's major city today are slightly lower than they were on the legally mandated apartheid in South Africa in 1991. So we have a problem. And what's a very disturbing trend is the dramatic increases in segregation among the Latino population in the United States that portends real problems. Latino kids in school today are very highly segregated. So we have a problem. And yes, integration would be one solution. I'm not sure that's a feasible option. It's not the only way to go. What we really need is the infusion of economic resources that builds an opportunity base, that builds the organizations and the community structures that provide educational and employment opportunities and quality neighborhoods and quality housing for individuals. So without us doing that, this affects how we are as a nation. This affects our competitiveness in the current world economy. This affects our productivity as a nation. And this violates some of our fundamental moral understandings of what our country is about. And what we really need to do is to raise awareness levels about this and get some of us angry about the persistence of these inequalities in our society, so that we can put a moral voice and rise up and do something about it.
That's great. Thank you very much. Dr. Troutman, let's turn to the local level. What can local public health departments do to address some of these issues? We've got, as we saw in the clip about Louisville, again, geography, place is so important. How do we address this problem? Are we trying to ameliorate the effects of place, or are there other more fundamental strategies?
Well, let me first offer another resource that, that many are aware of and many are not. The National Association of County City Health Officials, which several of us belong to, recently published a book called Tackling Health Inequities Through Public Health Practice, which has a chapter on the Health Equity Index. Tony has a chapter on what's going on in Alameda County. There's a chapter on the creation of the Center for Health Equity in Louisville, which I talked about briefly. So there are many practical examples
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you, Dr. Troutman, for joining our panel today. Thank you very much. Thank you again, Dr. Troutman. And I know both Baker and Bernadette want to do a quick response, and then I want to move forward with a couple of the questions. So, Baker, did you want to respond to what Dr. Troutman said? That's great. Thank you, Baker. Let me let Bernadette respond and also address this question of funding, because there is nobody better positioned in this room probably to address questions of federal funding than a staffer who works on the Labor, Health, and Human Services and Education Appropriations Subcommittee.
I would be very remiss if I didn't mention
Thank you, Bernadette. That's great. Now, we have about 12 minutes left. I want to open it up for audience questions, but a lot of folks are going to want to ask questions. I can tell by looking at all of you that you've been very patient. There's a lot of expertise in the room here, so please keep your questions short, and I'll ask our panelists to be similarly short in their response. Dr. Carter-Prokers? That's great. Thank you, Dr. Carter-Prokers. So the bottom line is get involved. Make your voices heard to HHS, AAMC, and others. Great. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Baker. Other questions, please, very brief, if you have brief questions. I'm stunned. Go ahead.
One of the things
Baker, did you have a follow-up? Absolutely. One additional question here.
Yes. This is a great segue into my question. Thank you. My name is Howard Aaron. The question is, who are we voting for? And I really admire all the work that we've executed this, but the question is, do you think this is possible without us being involved in the political process that happens at the local, the state, and the federal level? Because the political paradigm operated under is not going to allow us to be citizens of government.
Couldn't have said it better.
Great. Okay, we have time for possibly one final question. Do you want to stand up, please? Thank you. Very powerful comment. Any responses from our panel?
Well said.
Well said. Okay. That's great. It's about power. It's about privilege. I'm struck by the comment that Dr. Troutman made about the response of his staff to the training. We need to study privilege as much as we study poverty. Now, I didn't just make that up. That Richard told me that before the beginning of this panel. So thank you, Richard. I want to thank our panelists. This has been a really rich discussion. And I want to underscore what Bernadette said and what Olivia Carter-Pokris said. We need to get involved. We need to be active. We need to be in our members of Congress's ears, in their faces. We need to be in front of HHS and the other bodies that are setting policy, because it is up to us to collectively use our power. So thank you very much. David, did you want to...
Brian, can I just add, everyone needs to walk out of here. You saw the family, it was beautiful, it was entertaining, and so forth. But it is a tool. All the organizing and things we're talking about, the whole point of this film series is to hand you a tool to make it easier for you to connect with community people and raise awareness levels of these issues and mobilize people. So if you don't leave here thinking about how you are going to use this tool in your work, you've missed the whole point of this session.
Exactly. Thank you, David. Let's give our panel one last round of applause. Thank you.